The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Here's why I say our most left-leaning universities could be on the verge of collapse.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. Great to be with you, friends, as we are here to infuse you with faith and truth and courage as we come towards the end of 2023. Wow. I've got more shocking stuff to share with you today, some encouraging things to share with you. Remember my pledge, we won't get your blood boiling unless we also get your faith rising. So I'm going to encourage you as well, but we'll get your blood boiling too along the way with a righteous indignation. And Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, didn't he? So it's that hunger and thirst for God's righteousness to be manifest on the earth and in our lives that we hunger, and that drives us, but then God comes and God fills. Okay, you can call and talk to me about just about anything, but I want to give a special end-of-the-year invitation to those who differ with me, whether you differ with me in my views about Israel today, whether you differ with me on my socio-political, conservative, moral, biblical views, whatever it might be. I'd love to talk to you. I'd like for you to tell me why. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. So in the second segment and beyond, we'll start to get to calls, but now's a great time to call in, get on the line so that you'll be ready and waiting when we get to our callers in a little while. Okay, so everybody knows, by now the whole world knows about the horrific testimony before Congress. These were women who were prepared. These are women who were seasoned leaders. These are women who are academically brilliant, right? And they were coached and all this and gave mind-bogglingly horrific answers to the Senate when they were pressed to Congress when they were pressed on various issues about their campuses and free speech and things like that. And the presidents of Harvard, MIT, and University of Pennsylvania, UPenn has already resigned, the president there, and others continue to put pressure on the leaders to resign. When they could not answer a simple question, is calling for the genocide of the Jews on your campus bullying or harassment? So someone put this together. This is using AI, artificial intelligence. So we'll start to play the clip. Those watching, I'm going to read what comes on, and then you'll get to hear things, actually. But as soon as I see it come up on the screen, I will start reading it. Here we go. So imagine if you replace the word Jew with any other marginalized group using AI. Let's see how it feels.
At Penn, does calling for the genocide of black and brown people violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of LGBTQ people, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Muslim people is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer. Yes, Ms. McGill.
Yeah, so just substitute Jew, right? Take that word out and ask for the genocide of LGBTQ people or the genocide of black people, or the genocide of Hispanic people, or the genocide of Muslims, or any other group. Ah, hate speech, of course, bullying, hurrah, absolutely. Just imagine, friends, for a split second, as I want to talk, not focus on Israel, I want to talk about universities and the moral and spiritual bankruptcy of many universities, even intellectual bankruptcy in certain ways. Well, there may be brilliance in other ways. In certain ways, an intellectual bankruptcy that doesn't know how to think simply and think morally. Remember, a fool in the Bible is not someone who's uneducated. A fool is someone who's morally bankrupt, right? So there's a lot of foolishness that's being taught and propagated in our universities, and young people are being indoctrinated with it, and that's just the way they learn to think. It's tragic, but it is absolutely real and happening in front of our eyes. So imagine that students were chanting for the elimination of all gays, lesbians, queer people from America. Eliminate them from America. Or eliminate all Muslims from America. Or eliminate all blacks from America. Black people from America. Eliminate all of them, right? And the university presidents are asked, is that hate speech? Well, it depends on only if it actually turned to violence, then it might be bullying and harassment. They'd all be gone. Overnight, they'd be gone. They probably wouldn't make it till the morning after. And yet Jews, well, not so clear. All right. Now, a new survey just came out, serving young people, and 51%. Again, I'm not going to stay on the Israel focus now. We can come back to it later if you want to talk about it, but I'm not going to stay there. 51% said Israel should be ended and given to Hamas. They support Hamas. That is 51%. Now they're getting things on TikTok and social media, and they're getting things in their schools. Listen to this interaction on Fox News.
Like 70 days removed from the war in Israel and Gaza, but yet we are still, including Bill Maher, having to explain why what the Harvard president couldn't come to terms with accepting, that the river to the sea is a call for genocide of the Israeli people. Here is Bill Maher explaining it.
The Palestinian people should know your leaders and the useful idiots on college campuses who are their allies are not doing you any favors by keeping alive the river to the sea myth. Here's the river. Here's the sea. Oh, I see. It means you get all of it. Not just the West Bank, which was basically the original UN partition deal you rejected because you wanted all of it and always have. And so you attacked and lost and attacked again and lost and attacked again and lost. If I give you the benefit of the doubt and say your plan for a completely Jewless Palestine isn't that all the Jews should die, what is the only other option?
Katie, can you help us out here?
Well, all of these students who responded to this poll saying Israel should be handed to Hamas qualify for my Summer in Gaza program. They can sign up at getthrownoffofarooftop.com. I'll pay for the ticket. You're free to go there and spend some time. This is clearly being indoctrinated into these younger people through TikTok and also through this toxic DEI critical race theory agenda that we're seeing at college campuses all over the country, where they think that Jews are at the top of the oppressive
diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Right.
Unless you're Jewish.
Right. That's right. They put the Jews at the top of the oppressive nature of things, think that they're white because they're successful in some way, and therefore they're allowed to be persecuted in all of these ways.
Yeah, so where are they learning a lot of this stuff? Yes, social media, but a lot of this stuff they're learning in universities. A friend of mine encouraged me to get Senator Ted Cruz's new book, Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America. As some of you love Ted Cruz, some of you don't like Ted Cruz, just listen to what he wrote, because it's very accurate. He said that, and this is well known, he's just putting it out in popular form, the radicals from the 1960s, the ones with the extremist crazy views, some of you remember back then. He said they knew they could not continue to mount a violent revolution against the government, not if they wanted to be successful. They could no longer throw bricks through windows, screaming police officers, and hold unruly demonstrations in the public square if they wanted to win hearts and minds to their cause, at least not yet. For now, they had to take the ideas of Marx, the ones that they had worked so hard to bring to the United States, and quietly slip them into the minds of people in some other way. He said this, in other words, the activists who had once planted bombs in buildings and torched cars to bring about revolution would now have to calm down, get jobs, and pretend to be productive members of society, quote, doing the job. All the while, though, they would maintain their revolutionary ideas, preserving one's own consciousness. and worked to insert those ideas into the work they did, indoctrinating as many people as possible in the process. Those who became university professors would treat preachers like Karl Marx kindly while attacking capitalists and other revered figures from American history. Those who went into information technology would design systems with a subtle liberal bias. Those in journalism would work to transform the newspapers and eventually the cable news networks and internet startups into propaganda organs for the left. So this is where it's gone. And there's been a shift. I've talked to people with kids in grade school, right? Middle school, high school, and they'll be talking about the indoctrination of their kids into these various thought forms. And I'm sure it's being introduced in various forms, even younger. And then you get to the universities, you're bombarded with it. It shapes your mindset. Then it's reinforced on social media. And that's the world news that you're getting is coming through this dramatic filter. And your method of filtering things is now askew. It's created a massive crisis. But here's the point I want to get to. I wrote an article back in September, and it had this title, "The Coming Collapse of Our Secular Universities?" I believe in many ways that the more a university leans to the left, the more its future may be doomed. I don't mean that it's going away overnight or even going away tomorrow or even totally going away at all. But much of its glimmer, prestige will be lost, and some might even ultimately go under. They might ultimately go bankrupt, or they'll become shells of themselves. You see, and I'm going to get to some stats and specifics, but these radical ideologies don't work in real life. They don't work. It's why Marxism failed so miserably, where it's gone and been implemented on a massive national level, why it brought such poverty and suffering and pain and estimates of at least 100 million people dying last century as a direct result of the implementation of Marxist ideas. It doesn't work. So young people, ultimately, they go to school, they want a career. Right, they get out of college, and what they're learning is not helping them in the workplace. And now you've got schools like the Harvards and major law firms saying, "Hey, any of those schools where those presidents testified, we want nothing to do with them." Or Harvard students, 31 different groups, putting out statements saying that they supported Hamas, and that this was completely Israel's fault, the massacre of October 7th. "We don't want your students." As more and more are graduating with degrees that don't help them, with an education that is not practical, and they're not being aided in the job market, and the tuitions are massive, and some of the prestige is gone, why, pray tell, would they keep going to those schools? Why would they continue to do what they are doing? They're either going to not go to college at all or university, or they're going to go to other schools. Many will end up in solid Christian schools where their moral values will be reinforced. They'll learn holistic life principles and get practical education. That's just supply and demand, right? We'll be right back.
Is brain health important to you or someone you love? Then please take a few moments and let me present a most amazing product formulated by leading physicians from Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins Medical. This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita. I watched my mother, who was wonderfully gifted and such a hard worker for most of her life until her later years. And then it was so sad to see the effects of neurodegeneration. Even to the stage, she did not recognize her son. Did you know that 2 out of 3 Americans aged 50 years or older experience some level of cognitive impairment affecting their lives? I was determined to find a formula that would support brain health. I commissioned 3 of the most talented and competent physicians to build a formula that would not only support mental health long-term, but would contribute to feeling brighter, more alert, and with less anxiety each day. After considerable research, a formula was developed, and now I have the joy of presenting NeuroShine exclusively from Trivita. The formula ingredients are equivalent to the science studies shown to improve focus and concentration, enhance mood, and memory acquisition. It has also been demonstrated to help prevent cognitive loss. I encourage you to call a Trivita Wellness consultant and discuss how NeuroShine will support your brain health or someone you love.
To feel better and brighter, try NeuroShine for yourself. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at TRIVITA, trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I had a little disappointment today. Yeah, we got a shipment of Trivita, but it was for other staff. Yeah, because we practice what we preach. We've been enjoying using it. And I ordered NeuroShine last week after I heard the ad, literally. And it wasn't in the box. It was the box for others. I didn't get it yet. So I'm going to give you a report, but check it out for yourself. Just found out my son-in-law, Jimmy, we were on vacation last month. I gave him a sample of nitric oxide and MyoHealth, which I take every day, especially before workouts, sometimes after workouts as well. And found out he's been using it every day and enjoying it. So 800-771-5584. Make an investment in your own health, the health of a loved one. And remember, the generous donation from Trivita, our co-sponsor, along with you, coming back to the Line of Fire to help us reach more people around the nation. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Anyone wants to disagree with me on any? I know I give the invitation endlessly and get very few takers, but we keep trying. 866-348-7884. If you got a question for me about stuff happening in the church today, you've heard things, you're trying to get clarity, by all means, give me a call. We do our best to separate fact from fiction here on the Line of Fire. If you're trying to sort out what's really happening in Israel with the war with Hamas, that's not my main topic today. We're talking about universities, but I'm happy to do that. And yeah, just more tragic news over the last few days that IDF soldiers mistakenly shot and killed three Israeli hostages. I mean, who can even comment on that? The guilt, the loss, they should have been home. They should have been home. Should have been a major breakthrough. Somehow they were on their own and they should have been home. Instead, they're dead. The guilt of the soldiers involved, the shame of the nation. And then as reports come, I haven't looked into trying to get more information. Allegedly, an Israeli sharpshooter killed two women in a church, two women taking refuge in a church, like they were sniped and killed. I mean, if it happened intentionally, that's unbelievable. That's beyond shocking, war crime. If it happened unintentionally, what kind of a responsibility is that? So, suffering of innocent Palestinians, it's a very grievous situation, but we continue to recognize and monitor the shocking, unreal, despicable rising tide of Jew hatred around the world. And it is a plague, and the ones that are going to push back and fight against it are going to be followers of Jesus. You are the front line fighting against this, friends. Just understand that. I have rabbis, religious Jews contacting me and, hey, let's fight this together, because they understand they need to stand side by side with followers of Jesus on this. Okay. So back to our universities. Here's some of what I wrote in my article on the coming collapse of our secular universities. This was in September, okay? I ask, are our secular universities, especially those leaning most radically left, soon to collapse? Or at least soon to lose their current positions of power and influence? A good case can be made that the answer could well be yes. So first, there's been a serious dip in enrollment in our colleges and universities across the nation. As noted in a March 9th, 2023 headline on the Fortune website, the labor shortage is pushing American colleges into crisis with the plunge in enrollment, the worst ever recorded. Yes, what first looked like a pandemic blip has turned into a crisis. Nationwide undergraduate college enrollment dropped 8% from 2019 to 2022, with declines even after returning to in-person classes, according to data from the National Student Clearinghouse. The slide in college-going rates since 2018 is the steepest on record, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The article says economists say the impact could be dire. So why are less people going to university in general? May 2022, U.S. News reported that college enrollment declines are here to stay. The enrollment data comes as a growing number of students consider alternatives to higher education, both as a result of tuition costs and data highlighting earnings potential without a degree. Hey, if I could make a good living without going tens of thousands of dollars into debt to go to a college, why do I need to go to a college? And look, it's post-World War II, the baby boomer generation, that there was a great increase in college enrollment in America. But there are times in our history when college enrollment was much less and people had more practical apprenticeships and ways of making a living. I was talking to a pastor from Australia when I was in Florida a few weeks back, and he was driving me around, and he was telling me that in Australia that many more things are done on a more practical training apprentice level outside of a college setting than we're used to in America. So many young people are saying, is a college degree really that important for life and success? And many are graduating and being very disappointed, feeling, hey, we were promised jobs, we were promised this, we were promised that. Where is it? Where is it? So another issue is declining birth rates. Yeah. So the Hechinger Report explained, focusing only on the effects of COVID on enrollment obscures that a demographic downturn has already been squeezing colleges and universities for a decade, during which the number of students has declined by an unprecedented 2.6 million, or 13%. Because of a fall-off in the number of births during the last recession, another drop-off from 11 to 15% is projected, beginning in the mid-2020s, in the number of prospective college students graduating from high schools. The only reason that the American population is stable, meaning that on average for childbearing women, it's about 2.1 children per childbearing woman to keep a society stable, is because of immigration. It's not because of birth rates. It's because of immigration. Now, it's true that birth rates in conservative Christian homes are much higher than birth rates in non-religious liberal homes. That's true. The negative is that the retention rate is lower, that kids are being born at a higher rate but not retained in the faith. That's a whole other subject. So the article says, because of a fall-off in the number of births during the last recession, another drop of from 11 to 15% is projected, beginning in the mid-2020s, in the number of prospective college students graduating from high schools. But look at this. July 2021, Western Journal, birth rates are the right's secret weapon as liberal values backfire. The article by Miska Salomon said, data from the General Social Survey indicates that in the 1970s, there was little or no difference in fertility rates between liberal and conservative women, according to the Institute for Family Studies. Over time, though, that statistic has changed dramatically. And Salomon reports, as of 2018, the gap had widened markedly, with conservative women between the ages of 30 to 44 averaging near 2.5 children, and liberal women just over 1.5. She continues to approach the data another way. The survey also shows that a random sample of 100 conservative adults will raise 208 children, 100 liberal adults will raise only 147 kids, according to Fatherly. So in practical terms, it means that conservatives could hold a political edge as the size of liberal families continues to dwindle. The evidence that supports this idea is overwhelming, she said, which would then suggest that conservative kids would be potentially making up a higher number of those going to college, either choosing not to go to college and pursue other careers, or going to college, and if they've been raised right, perhaps looking for colleges that share their viewpoints more, meaning that be the less and less students for the most radical left universities and colleges. There'd be less students for them. There'd be less prestige associated with them. What do I need to get a degree from there when the luster is gone, number one, right? Saying I have a degree from Harvard or MIT or UPenn right now does not have the luster it had even a few months ago, right? With Harvard getting by far the lowest rates of any for free speech schools in America, major schools. It scored a zero, actually scored a minus 11 in a major poll that was done, major survey that was done. So if it's not practical, if the luster's gone, you can't just say I went to an Ivy League school. And if it's not helping you get a job and the tuitions are sky high, why go? We'll be right back. Michael Brown here, friends, with a very, very sober announcement. We're living in different days. We're living in different times. The battle has come to us, and like it or not, every single one of us, we are in the line of fire today. And friends, there is an all-out war today against the Jewish people. There is an all-out war like there was before the Holocaust to annihilate and destroy Jewish people. And God has positioned us with the line of fire on the front lines to do two things that are very, very critical. One, to speak the truth about Israel, to speak the truth about anti-Semitism, to push back against the destructive lies, to push back against false theologies, to stand strong and tall and say, this is what the Word says, and this is what reality is. And then with that, friends, we also reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is a key role that we play. We are equipping Jewish evangelists around the world. We are equipping the church to share the good news. We are directly involved in winning Jewish people to Jesus, Yeshua. So we are fighting on these two critically important fronts in unique ways. And I want to call on each of you to stand with me. Stand with our support team. Become a torchbearer today. These are urgent days, and you can make a difference. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support. $1 a day or more, you become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter. Together we're making a difference. We will pour into you. Immediately get two free books that will bless you. You get access to many free online classes, exclusive video content, all other benefits. Read about it at AskDrBrown.org. Join our support team today.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks to all those standing with us. We are making a difference. The pushback is continuing. We've got some major developments coming your way in 2023. You're almost done with 2023. In 2024, no hype. No hype, no exaggeration. I mean some major, very exciting developments that I believe are going to bless millions of people across the nation and around the world. And if you're not getting my emails, sign up now. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Sign up today. We want to get you our frontline newsletter, which is we're still putting together the first edition. It's going to be released January 2024. If you're getting our emails already, you'll get this automatically. If not, sign up and you'll get our frontline newsletter. You'll be blessed, edified. You'll look forward to it coming every single month, and it's absolutely free. So get that just by signing up for our emails at askdrbrown.org. Okay, Let me just talk to you a little bit more about coming collapse, potential collapse of our secular universities, especially those that lean the furthest to the left, either that they won't continue to exist or they'll exist on a much less influential way, or that they'll just be shadows of themselves. So I mentioned the free speech issue. So the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, abbreviated FIRE, I love that abbreviation, said that in their last survey, which was released this year, Harvard scored a 0 out of 100 possible points when it came to free speech. Okay? I mean, it's hard not to laugh, but this is terrible. This is pathetic. 866-34-TRUTH. In fact, if you are in college right now, college, university, or even in high school, middle school, and you are in a radical left environment, or you're getting bombarded with these kind of ideologies, you have to start your class with your preferred gender pronouns, give me a call. I'd love to hear what's happening with you, 866-34-TRUTH. If you're a teacher, a professor, or a school teacher, and you're getting slammed, there's pressure on you to conform and go a certain way, I'm glad to hear from you as well, 866-34-TRUTH. But we'll get to calls about any subject under the sun you want to interact with me about, but I'd love to hear from some of you directly. Okay, so how do you score a 0 out of 100? I mean, that's hard. Picture bowling, right? And every ball is a gutter ball. That takes, you got to be pretty bad. So, according to this survey, Harvard scored a 0 out of 100 possible points, with the next worst school scoring at 11 out of 100. Was that you, Penn? It was one of those others that testified before Congress. In fact, according to FIRE, Harvard's score of 0.00 is generous because its actual score is minus 10.69. That's why I said 11%. You round it off, right? It scored a negative 11%, a negative 10.69%. That's unimaginable. So if it's got a stifling environment like that, there is no question that Harvard's Jewish student numbers are going to drop. Hey, after World War II, Harvard limited the number of Jews they would have on campus. And now they're not going to have to worry about numbering them because they're going to be dropping out. And they're going to be losing hundreds of millions, probably billions of dollars over the years from Jewish donors and alumni that say no more. No more. We're ashamed. Why would we give? Why? So you're going to have a drop-off there, right? And, you know, there are many Asian Christians, and they are second generation. Their parents were real achievers, hard workers. I taught many of them over the years, Koreans, things like that, and other Asians. And their kids would, you know, always go to the most prestigious schools. And maybe there'll be some reconsideration if the prestige is not there so much, all right? So the question is, you know, Christian parents, you're going to keep sending your kids there? Really? And then here's another thing. The more the schools embrace radical Marxism, the less students will receive a practical education and the less equipped they'll be for the real world. Because that's the ultimate issue. Now, look. I only went to college to please my parents. They wanted me to go to school. It was important to them. I had no desire to go. Yesterday, praise God, marks 52 years from the night of my surrender, when Jesus wonderfully touched me, and overcome by the love of God and the goodness of God, after weeks of deep conviction of sin, I said, Lord, I'll never put a needle in my arm again. That doesn't save you to stop doing drugs, but that was the point of surrender. I could not say, Lord Jesus, my life is yours, because I knew I was in rebellion and sin. I knew that. So that was the point of surrender. 1971, I got radically, wonderfully, gloriously delivered, instantly free, and life's never been the same ever since then. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Literally from LSD to PhD and beyond, to who can imagine what God could do with a broken, worthless, rebellious life. If he could do that for me, he could do that for anybody. Praise God. So I went to college. My parents wanted me to. At that point, I just wanted to preach the gospel and pray and read the word. But I honored them. So I was good with drums. I was good percussion. So I said, okay, I'll be a music major. I'll be a music major. But in the second semester, I realized, nah, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the right gifting to be a music major. So I switched over to liberal arts, and oh, I hated it. I was so bored. I didn't like this stuff and felt like it was tedious to have to read. And so I dropped out of all my classes. I made appeals to the prof, say, just give me a withdraw passing if you don't mind. And they did, because I couldn't hack it. I couldn't finish it. And then switched over to another school. That was the plan. Started the community college, went over because I didn't have formal grades my last 2 years in high school because of this radical program I was part of, which is a whole other story. Switched over and saw the Hebrew classes. And I'd been taking Hebrew. I thought, well, why not major in Hebrew? Why not major in Hebrew? And that's what I did. So I graduated with a bachelor's degree in Hebrew, and also I'd taken Arabic and Greek and Latin and Yiddish and German. Well, it didn't prepare me for the workplace, but it was part of my vocation. I wanted to grad school, got a master's and PhD in European languages and literature. So that's been part of my overall career and life in ministry, and has enhanced it, right? But otherwise, okay, you can learn on your own. You don't have to spend all that money to school if the degree's not going to be helpful. So if what you're learning is impractical, okay, and the radical education has more changed the way you think than taught you to think and given you useful information, then why go? So Fortune article I referenced earlier, it spoke of hundreds of thousands of young people who came of age during the pandemic but didn't go to college. Many have turned to hourly jobs or careers that don't require a degree, while others have been deterred by high tuition and the prospect of student debt. February 7th, now look at this, 2023 in the Daily Caller stated, Christian colleges, so we've been talking about enrollments going down on different things, Christian colleges and universities are seeing an increase in enrollment, despite the national enrollment rate of college students being on a decline, higher education expert told the Daily Caller News Foundation. Isn't that interesting? Wow, wow, wow. The national undergraduate enrollment rate dropped 1.1% during the fall 2022 semester, while the rate declined a total of 4.2% since 2020. According to the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center, many faith-based institutions, however, saw an increase in enrollment, which higher education experts claim is because of these institutions' commitment to their roots. Ooh, I told you I was going to encourage you. So not only are we having more babies, but those babies are growing up, and many of them are now going to more conservative schools. Either parents feel it's safer to send their kid there. Okay, you have the prestige of going to Harvard with so much of its moral intellectual bankruptcy right now. And I'm sure a lot of genius, a lot of amazing things taught there and produced there and all that. But, I mean, stats are, when the Harvard Crimson did a survey, when one of the student publications did a survey a couple years back, for every one professor that identified as conservative, 500 did not. 500 to one. Conservative or very conservative. So parents are thinking, well, there's an environment there which is a less unhealthy environment spiritually, morally. Now intellectually, I don't like what's being taught there. Some of the luster is off. The prices are even higher in many cases. Why send them there? Why send them somewhere where I know they're going to be in a better moral environment? They're going to have their Christian beliefs reinforced, and the values that we hold to, and even ways of thinking and logic and approaching literature and history, we prefer that. Could it be the shift's underway? I think so. And I think the developments of this last year, revealing how far things have gone, are only going to increase that shift. All right, we go to the phones. Let's start with Rick in Berrien, Michigan. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good. I love listening to your program, Dr. Brown. And I've got a question. I'm retired teacher. I taught 29 years public school, 11 years middle school, and then 18 in high school, and I taught history. Mm. And my question is, how do we get so many, I want to say, false narratives that are brought in from college professors on, specifically on history? Of course, there's many other topics, but looking at history, how can they get the position to spin the history and that be acceptable? I mean, I've had students that have come back to me and they've said, some of them weren't very nice. They're like, well, you taught me this and that, and that's not right. And it just boggles my mind. After yeah. teaching 29 years, I tell every person that I can, I would get your kids totally out of public schools because it's more of a indoctrination. And here's the part that bothers me. And I'll let you answer that question. But here's the part that bothers me as a history teacher is I never taught that we were perfect on anything, that we as a country grew just like a baby grows and they make mistakes. But I didn't take something and just twist it. And I always left it open for people to discuss. And well, what do you get out of that? What are the lessons? But what I saw happen was all of a sudden they gave us so much to teach that nothing was really learned. We barely touched on stuff that was maybe just to take and learn for a test, as opposed to what are the lessons. And when you don't understand the lessons of history, the problem is they don't see the things that are happening now the same as what happened with the Bolshevik Revolution and stuff like that. So they have no knowledge to prevent the things from happening that are happening.
All right, I'm going to respond. I've got a question for you in terms of when you retire. Thank you for all your years of service and your investment. But I'm going to answer your question. First, I'm curious to know when you retire. We'll be right back. Take it up on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH to get on the broadcast.
Are you or a cherished loved one finding it harder to remember names, stay focused, or maintain a positive outlook on life? Well, you're not alone. I'm Dr. Paul, and I have a critical health alert. Did you know that approximately 2 out of 3 Americans age 50 and older experience some level of cognitive impairment affecting their daily lives? It's a serious issue, but there's hope. Introducing Trivita's NeuroShine, brain support supplement developed by Mayo and Johns Hopkins trained doctors. NeuroShine is specifically designed to nurture the healthy development of brain cells and provide defense against neurodegeneration. Trivita's NeuroShine contains Bacopa Mineri, shown to enhance verbal learning, delayed word recall, memory acquisition, and reduction of anxiety. Studies also show an impressive 85% improvement in focus and concentration. Our clinical formulators included lithium orotate, a specific salt known to enhance mood, making you feel better and brighter. It also demonstrated to prevent cognitive loss. Trivita's formula includes pantothenic acid, playing a crucial role in regulating and synthesizing several neural pathways, ensuring comprehensive support of your cognitive health. Protect and enhance your cognitive health today with NeuroShine. Experience the difference in mood, memory, focus, and concentration. Trivita, your trusted partner in wellness, brings you NeuroShine to support a brighter and healthier mind. Sold only by Trivita.
To feel better and brighter, try NeuroShine for yourself. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at TRIVITA, trivita.com.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. So we go back to Rick. So, Rick, what year did you retire?
I just retired in 22.
All right. Okay, so amazing. So you've been in the school system for a long time now and seen a lot of change come. So the short answer is this. And if you get Christopher Rufo's book, America's Cultural Revolution, he goes into it in the most depth. I was looking at another book by James Lindsay, I think, last night on the Marxist indoctrination of the schools. Ted Cruz's book, Unwoke, gets into it on a simpler level. But basically, the radical Marxist philosophies of the 60s, through people like Herbert Marcuse and others, became introduced, the radicals of the 60s became college professors, university professors, influences in media, politics, culture, like Bill Ayers, who was part of the Weather Underground, which was considered a terrorist group, and became an esteemed professor, and according to many, a mentor to former President Barack Obama, that these people began to introduce their ideas with the concept, to simplify it, that you have two classes of people, the oppressed and the oppressors, and that every history is divided into that, society is divided into that, hence the destructive aspects of critical race theory, hence intersectionality and these other things. So, you know, it's ultimately the white European is the oppressor. The white European male Christian is the ultimate oppressor. Now the American male Christian is the ultimate oppressor. And then you just work it out from that. Jews are now part of that class. So Jews are the oppressors, the Palestinians, the indigenous people, the Jews pictured as the outside invaders or the oppressed. But history just gets divided in these ways. And now if we look at the horrors of slavery in our history, we're ashamed of that. We look at segregation for so many generations, we're ashamed of that. We look at some of our treatment of the native peoples, we're ashamed of that. We don't want to repeat that. So now it's all a matter of undoing our guilt and white privilege and fixing this and fixing that. And it's not to say that there aren't issues that remain for America to focus on and that we work on together to better America and to try to bring about equal opportunities. But instead, it's now you must guarantee equal outcomes, and hence children's sports where you don't even keep track of score because everybody has to win. So it's just a basic philosophical approach that came in and was more radical in the universities and colleges, became more mainstream. These became the educators of the next generation and the social media influencers, and boom, there you have it. To the sickening point that 51% of Gen Z young people surveyed said they side with Hamas. You know, it's mind-boggling, but yeah. Look, many parents.
Right. Could I ask you one other question?
Go ahead.
Because I love what you're saying, and it really shows what happens on the dark side and the twisted side, and that. And I just want to know if you would agree with me. Now I've started a ministry and just working on what I call kingdom living, and I guess what I feel like is that there's a lot of the church has not been the church. They've put the bushel basket over the top of a bunch of people in a building, and they haven't been the light, the salt, and they haven't. And I'm not talking about radical going out, and I'm actually talking about radically loving people, living the kingdom life, showing that to people, and loving the people. Speak up, speaking the truth in love. And so how much blame would you say? And I'm not just looking for blame. I'm looking for if we're not being that light, if we're not countering it, and by that I mean in a loving way and showing the right way of living, have we allowed this to happen, that we haven't stepped up? It sounds like they've taken all spheres of our society while we've sat back and kept the church.
It's on us, Rick, for sure. It's on us. Thank God for those that are doing good. Thank God for the Christians that are active in their communities and speaking up and people of prayer. And thank God for the fine churches and pastors out there. But by and large, we become ingrown. By and large, it's been more a matter of going to church rather than being the church. By and large, we've been changed by the world rather than us changing the world. As I've said for many, many years now, in fact, people I've influenced, you'll hear the same quote from their lips. I'm not so much concerned with the presence of darkness as I am with the absence of light. That's always the question. Right. What's the matter with the light? If the salt loses its saltiness, of what use is it? If the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? These are words from Jesus in Matthew 5 and Matthew 6. So that's the issue, and it does come down to us. And that's why I have great hope, because it's not too late. If God touches us, then that can touch the world around us. In fact, my next book releases January 2nd. Many of you already got your pre-ordered copies. I just signed a few more today. Seize the Moment, Fueling the Fires of Revival. This book lays out when God starts to move, what do you do? How do you act on that? What must happen to see revival continue, to see revival deepen? And then that'll be followed by Turn the Tide. That comes out in May. Turn the Tide, how to ignite a cultural awakening, how to go from revival in the church to reformation in society, how to go from outpouring of the church to awakening in the larger world. And in Turn the Tide, which comes out in May, I go through practical things, Father, getting involved in education. And it's not a matter that we're going to take over and force our views on everyone. No, rather, we're going to do what everybody else did. We're going to infiltrate with our message. We're going to seek to change hearts and minds through the gospel. We're going to pray for God's intervention and fight with the weapons that God's given us spiritually speaking, right? And then seek to win in the battleground of ideas and influence thinking and show a better way for education, for children's education, for higher education, and model that. And why not be a school principal? Why not be a school librarian? Why not be a college professor? Why not be a university chancellor? Why not see Christians raised up in these ways to now have a positive impact on society, just as others, they had their agenda. We think it's a destructive agenda. It's their agenda. And now we push back in Jesus' name. It's what we do in a democratic society and what we should do and a responsible thing. Hey, one last thing. Many of you say, I love to pull my kids out of public school. I can't. Understood. Some of you don't have a Christian school in your community or you can't afford it. Some of you are unable to homeschool. It's just not a viable option. And maybe the public school in your area is a really good one, and it's not infested with some of these radical ideologies. But if it is, you just have to get involved. You have to. Those are your kids. And you could lose them. You could lose them ideologically, spiritually, morally before you know it. So I don't want to be a fearmonger, but I do want to say, got to get involved. I know people are busy and stressed and overworked, but you got to get involved. That means right there from the beginning, meeting with the teachers. It means looking at the curriculum. It means looking at the school books. It means having conversations with your kids. And it means saying, hey, I'm not at home with this. And I don't believe you have the right to indoctrinate my child with this. And it may mean having to call legal counsel. Look, if you go to tellADF.org, right? So the Honest Defending Freedom or Liberty Council, LC.org. If you go to these different organizations, say, hey, I'm facing this in my school. I've been told this, this, this. I've been told we have to comply with XYZ. And I don't feel good about that. Is there a way to push back? They'll tell you, yeah. And it's free counsel they'll provide for you. You go to Focus on the Family's website, many resources to help parents in schools. So they're out there. And in Turn the Tide, I try to lay out these different courses of action that could be taken. So if you don't feel called to homeschool or you're unable to, Christian school is not an option. Even in Christian school, you got to sometimes check to see what's being taught. Anyway, don't feel condemned, but just say, hey, let me get involved. Let me get involved. All right, let's go over to Fab in Boston. Time is short, so dive right in.
All right. Hey, Dr. Brown, love you.
Thank you.
So I'm of the unpopular opinion that the church definitely is responsible for this, and it goes back very deep. So I'm just going to give a quick question, and I'll take your response off air.
Yeah.
Will the world, not Christians or, not believers, but will the unbelieving world be judged by the Ten Commandments? And I'll take your answer off air.
Sounds good. All right. So number one, the world is not going to be judged for Seventh-day Sabbath observance. God did not give that as a command to the entire world. But will the world be judged guilty for worshiping other gods, for murder, for adultery, for stealing, for lying? Sure, sure. However, the whole human race falls short one way or another. We fall short of God's standards. And therefore, the ultimate question is, have we received mercy through Jesus? Which, Fab, of course, I know you agree with. The ultimate question, because we're all guilty, is, will we receive mercy through Jesus and receive forgiveness so that we can get a brand new clean slate and a new heart to follow God? But you see, if you read like Amos 1 and into the second chapter, if you read like Isaiah 13 to 23, or Ezekiel 25 to 32, or the book of Nahum, or the book of Obadiah, this is where all foreign nations are being addressed. And they're being called to account for acts of cruelty, for covenant breaking, for murder, and chastised for their idolatry. At Acts 17, Paul said that God overlooked the time past of ignorance where the nations worshipped idols, but now Acts 17:30, he calls all men, commands all men everywhere to repent. So Sabbath, that was something specifically given to Israel. But the whole world is declared guilty by violation of universal commandments. But mercy comes to all through the cross. Hey, friends, if you're not getting my emails, you want to get the Frontline newsletter, which comes out in January. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org to sign up.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.